Welcome back to the LSCC podcast. The Radiant Women's Kayaking event is coming up this Saturday, August 3rd. Get the details and sign up at lscc.tv. If you need to rent a kayak or canoe, the rental fee of $11 is due Thursday, August 1st. The next family night is coming up on August 21st, but this time we'll be meeting at Harlow Park in Marquette. Don't forget to keep up with the summer schedule at lscc.tv. And now we'll be starting off our new series, Church Can Be Like a... fill in the blank. Good morning, church. Good morning. Whew, it's been a while since I've been up here. Don't worry, I'm not nervous, not even a little bit. So how many of you guys try to keep up with the current slang the youth are using? Personally, I gave up after YOLO, which I started using recently. I'm pretty sure it's not cool anymore. The kids cringe when I use it. I think it's hilarious, but that's just how I work. After yeet, it was in dab, and I don't even know anymore. I gave up. I'm partial to the slang of the 90s. 90s kids in here? Okay, there's a few of us. We had the good ones. Booyah! Ah, snap! But everything that was good was sweet. If you don't agree with me, then talk to the hand. The church, we've been a little lacking in slang. We stick with the Bible terms. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe add a little flavor. But recently, we finally got a good one. We have, that'll preach. And for me, inspiration comes at the weirdest times. And unfortunately, some months ago, I had one of those that'll preach ideas. I say unfortunately because I brought the idea to Corey and to Brandon, and they said, yeah, that will preach. You get to do it. I should have seen that one coming. I'll get into it soon, but the idea came from noticing a really small detail in what's an everyday routine. And then I thought, wow, this really is a lot like the church. And the more we talked about it, the more the idea grew, and it became this series, Church Can Be Like a fill-in-the-blank. As Christians, our focus is typically on personal growth, and that's great. We need to be striving for that more and more every day, but the problem is that's also where we tend to stop. So I'm excited about this series because by making some simple comparisons, we get to take a closer look at what we're supposed to be as a church. And I mean that as, yes, Church LSCC, but also as church on a global scale. By looking at the church in another context, we also get a better view on how we're supposed to operate and why we do all of this in the first place. And by drawing on these similarities, we get to see from another perspective how incredible the church is, how powerful this body, and what we can truly accomplish. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 25, describes the church as the bride of Christ. The church is loved by Jesus, and we're entrusted to keep her. And if the church is described as the bride of Christ, I doubt that our responsibility is to be taken lightly. And if I'm being honest, while I am excited about this series, it also terrifies me. I'm scared because we can draw comparisons between the church and other things in two very different ways. The ways in which it's supposed to be, and also what we've turned the church into. And when we see the church behaving in a way that doesn't line up with Scripture, I believe we have an obligation to call that out. And I'm positive there are going to be things that we say in this series that we don't want to. There are going to be things that are uncomfortable, and there are going to be things that are difficult to deal with. We're going to be feeling convicted. I heard a quote from James Baldwin. He said, I love America more than any other country in the world, and exactly for this reason. I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually. I'm going to take this idea a step further, and I'm going to say we don't have the right, but we have the obligation to criticize the church perpetually. Maybe you've heard it said, a true friend will tell you that that shirt looks horrible on you. Watch it. I know I look like it's the print off of a city bus, but I like it. It's uncomfortable to be that brutally honest. But would you rather, okay, now this example isn't going to work. Would you rather your friend tell you and be that brutally honest or let you preach on a Sunday morning looking like a doofus? The point is, it's not fun, but it's incredibly valuable. Now, Mr. Baldwin might have been a bit harsh, so maybe we rephrase this for our purposes. I love the church, and exactly for that reason, I insist on the right to critique her lovingly. Most of the New Testament is filled with letters to churches with both encouragement and critique. Paul often says things like, I thank God for you, but I see you doing this thing, that thing, and the other. Also, drop the attitude. Flip forward into the book of Revelation, and most of the seven letters to the churches are heavy on the critique. Critique, as strange as it might sound, holds a very special place in my heart. See, I graduated with a degree in art design, so obviously critique is a huge part of that process. And during my final semester, I took more of an entry-level class in another field of study to fill all the prereqs and all that thing. But I took that class along with four of my fellow soon-to-graduate classmates. When you get into the upper-level courses, critique is harsh. And honestly, it's welcomed and sought out. We actually had this professor who had this phrase, he'd use it with us all the time, and he would tell us, and I quote, suck less. This is the level of critique that we're used to. But now we're in this, I believe it was a sophomore level class, and the other students had no clue they had five senior design students with them. We quickly found out they didn't share the same perspective on critique that we did. Even though with the best intent, any comments and feedback we gave them were met with sarcastic comebacks, insults, or they'd panic and get extremely defensive. Now, sure, we could have just fed them empty compliments to make them feel better and more comfortable with what they're doing, but instead we took the time to look at what they had done and tried to show them that they're capable of so much more. It was never meant to tear them down, not at all. But we had been where they were, so we knew how to pour into them and help them grow and get better. It's hard to hear it at first, but critique doesn't mean that you're a terrible, awful, good-for-nothing failure. It doesn't mean that you're worthless. What it does mean is that while you may not be perfect, there are incredible and amazing things that God is waiting to do through you. You have potential. We may just need to clean up some stuff along the way. And really, that's why a big part of the reason that we're here today, isn't it? Now, I'm sure that there are some people in this room listening right now thinking something along the lines of, it's about time they start telling it like it is. Or I know just the person who needs to hear this. I'm going to say this message is probably for you more than anyone. I've heard it said, always assume you could be wrong. Because the moment you know you're right is the moment that you stop learning and growing. So instead of recoiling or becoming defensive like the students we had in that class, I'm going to ask that throughout the series that each of you personally consider their critique. Because honestly, being wrong isn't always bad. Being wrong means that now we have an opportunity for growth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That's our goal in all of this. I want us to put our ideas of how church should work, what we should and shouldn't do, up against God's word and come away with a better understanding of what he wants. It's only then that we can move forward ready to do his work in our church and in our community. But we also need to be careful that our critique comes from a place of scripture, obviously, but also from a heart of love, mercy, and grace, and be for the purpose of building up the church and not tearing it down. Because there is an extremely large but often subtle difference between critique and just complaining. Earlier, I mentioned getting inspiration at a very unusual time. And I'm going to share that with this video.
Church, a place of rest, a place to find relief, a place to relax and release your burden. Wash, become clean, and leave feeling refreshed. Welcome to church.
Somewhere along the lines, I thought this was a good idea. But If I can be very serious for a moment, there's a very uncomfortable truth that we almost face at an early age, and I'm sorry this is going to hit close to home, but I have an obligation to tell you like it is. The fact is, everybody poops. I'm sorry, I'm thinking, there has to be someone here for the first time wondering, what is going on? This is not normal, I promise. The point is, we all need a bathroom, we're human, it is what it is. In the same way, we're all carrying junk that we need to deal with on a daily basis. We all have our sin, we have our issues, we have our questions, we have our doubts, we have our challenges, and when it comes to this stuff, we all need a place to clean up. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who work and have heavy loads. I will give you rest. Follow my teachings and learn from me. I am gentle and do not have pride. You will have rest for your souls, for my way of carrying a load is easy and my load is not heavy." Jesus ultimately is the only way to deal with our stuff. Scripture makes that clear, and that's the foundation of everything that we believe. Now, the series is focusing on the church on a whole, so I'm not going to be spending time on this, but if you have questions about that, find me after service, find another staff member, an elder, someone you came with. We would love to talk with you about that. While growing closer to Jesus and strengthening our faith is hopefully what we're all striving for, a huge help in that process is to be part of a community of believers. And that is where the church comes in. And the way I see it, there are two ways to go about this. And you can look at this kind of like how men and women go about their business. This is strange, but hear me out. Men, when it comes to using the bathroom, we have this unspoken bro code. No words are to be spoken under any circumstance. One stall between you and the next guy. If that's not an option, you leave, find another bathroom. End of story. Women, on the other hand, this looks a little different. It's typically a line out the door because they go in packs. I'm not sure why. I don't know if your bathrooms are just that much nicer, makeup, something. Whatever the reason is, there is a reason that women stick together. And I think we need to take a lesson from the women here. I understand wanting to keep that bro code mentality when you walk into church. You walk in, you listen to message, keep your head down, do the things, and leave. I mean, why would you want to open up about the junk we're dealing with anyway? We don't want to be judged. I mean, after all, it's messy, and I don't know if I can really trust the people that are around here. I mean, it's easy to walk in these doors and think that these Christians have everything all figured out, and now you're the oddball who's actually struggling with things. I'll let you in a little secret. Our stuff doesn't stink any less than yours. We all have stuff going on, and we're here to encourage each other and to build each other up. We've been there. We've done that. We understand. At the very least, we're definitely going to try. Hebrews chapter 10. "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." The point is, when it comes to dealing with life and growing in our faith, we cannot keep ourselves in isolation. When things are going good, who do you celebrate with? When they take a turn the other direction, who do you lean on? When you start acting out a line of scripture, who's going to call you out? Who encourages you? Who do you encourage? This is a huge part of the reason that the church exists. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of you sitting here thinking, well, I'm in church almost every single week, even went to a family night a time or two. Good for you. But it's also incredibly easy to walk in these doors, sing the songs, listen to the message, fill out the blanks on your outline. So mentally, you can check that went to church box for the week, and then mentally, you check out for the rest of the week. You leave without gaining much or contributing a single thing. Truthfully, I think a lot of us fall into that category. Coming to church and growing closer to Jesus, learning about scripture, all the things you do on a weekly basis are fantastic things. But if you look at Hebrews, it doesn't say show up. It says encourage one another, to serve one another. If we take that bro code approach to church, keep our heads down, do the things, and leave, we're missing so much. We miss the opportunity to pour into other people's lives and to build them up and also to be built up. And if that's you this morning, remember what I said earlier. This isn't to make you feel guilty. It's good to realize when we're wrong. This is not a slap on the wrist. This is encouragement because now we have an opportunity for growth. I'm going to go on a bit of a tangent, but I'm going to come back to this idea. Now, how many of you have gone into a store or a restaurant and found yourself really enjoying the experience? Soft light, great music, wonderful smells coming out of the kitchen. Oh, it's so wonderful, right until you walk into the bathroom. It's disgusting. I'm sure I'm not alone in this, but I find myself judging a place based on their bathroom. If you can't manage that, I really don't want to know what's going on in your kitchen. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." When I'd read verses like this, first I'd chuckle at how sarcastic Jesus would get with the Pharisees. But then I'd think, God, how do they get it so wrong? I mean, is it really that hard to love on people? And then it dawned on me. I've heard so many stories of churches pushing away people because the church decided that what they're dealing with is too much. I've heard of churches turning their back on people because, I don't know, they're dealing with something a little, I don't know, weird. The church has pushed families out of church because, I mean, they had kids, but they weren't married yet. Or they kind of pushed off to the side that person because, well, I think they're gay. I mean, never mind the person sitting a few seats over who might drink entirely way too much, or the person who might sneak a peek at porn every now and then, or maybe the person that spreads gossip everywhere they go. We can handle those things. They're not so bad. It's really those people we're worried about anyway. Does this sound a little familiar? Thing is, we don't get to decide which sins are okay. Every one of us has some kind of junk in our lives. No one is exempt. And to Jesus, what we're dealing with is no different than that. We don't get to make the distinction of what's too much for Jesus. Last I checked, John 3:16 didn't read, "For God so loved most of the world." I know it sounds absurd when I say that, but I've seen that kind of stuff happen right here in these walls. There have been times that we've forgotten why we're here, and we started looking at people the same way the Pharisees did right here. And we start pushing people away. We start to look a lot like the Pharisees. Whole lot of religion, a lot of rules, very little Jesus. Earlier, I shared a quote from James Baldwin. Couldn't remember exactly how it was phrased, so I had to look it up, but when I did, I found this. "I can't believe what you say because I see what you do." Why are we here? To grow closer to God? Yes. To build a community of believers? Yes. To welcome people and direct them to Jesus? Absolutely. To keep them out until they figured out their sin on their own? Absolutely not. It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. And generally speaking, I think this sort of thing happens all the time. I mean, how often do you hear people say, "God, sure, whatever, I just don't like religion"? Or maybe more commonly, "Why would I believe in God? I've been around Christians." People have the tendency to say horrible things about Christians. They say we're intolerant, judgmental, hypocritical, bigots who blindly follow some imaginary, cruel, an unforgiving God. Sure, sometimes it's because we stand up for something the Bible says and they don't like it. But oftentimes it's because we are intolerant, judgmental hypocrites, and when we act like that, we represent our Savior as a cruel and unforgiving God. So, while I might judge a place based on their bathroom, people judge God based on the church. point of clarification, I'm not suggesting that we just accept and welcome in any and all sin in the church. I'm simply suggesting that we meet people where they are. We introduce them to the love of Jesus. We invite them to grow in relationship with him, and that junk, well, we're going to all deal with that together as we grow together. As well, I have to be fair as well. I don't want it to sound like we're a group of horrible, judgmental people here. I think on the whole, we actually do very well. But we're not perfect. So don't hear this as a blanket indictment. Rather, hear this as what I'm trying to say. We're doing okay, but we're capable of so much more. And if we have gotten this wrong in the past, remember that's okay, because if we can own where we've failed, we can really own it. This now is our chance for growth. That's a fantastic thing, and we cannot pass that up. 1 Peter chapter 4, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you, even if you're afraid of public speaking. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Coming back to my previous thought, what if we didn't keep to ourselves? What if everything in these verses is what we were known for? What if Christians stopped being known for the hateful and judgmental things that a lot of us say, and instead we were known for showing the love of Jesus in every single thing that we did? How differently then would people look at our God? But this involves being active. This involves taking time out of your week to be involved, contribute, sacrifice. Do you see a need in the church? Do you see a need with the people in the church? Better yet, do you see a need in our community? Take initiative. Make it happen. If you don't know where to start, ask us. We can help you find a place. Just be active. The church and the people in it are the face of Jesus to the world. And how? Love and be active. So I frequently see this sign in bathrooms and say, if this bathroom needs attention, notify management. Does anybody actually do that? Out of curiosity? I will never do that. Because my immediate thought is, they're going to blame that on me, and I'm not taking responsibility for what I just witnessed. There's no way. But here, we're how the messes get cleaned up. We're the ones who make sure everything is taken care of. We're the ones who make sure everything is working properly. If something needs to be corrected, we take care of it. I keep saying we, I mean we, all of us. We do this by encouraging what is good and biblical, critiquing the things that don't quite line up. And I'm not talking about throwing a fit because the paper rolls from the back instead of the front, or because the wall color is this or that, or because the lighting is too bright or too dim, or the music is too this or that. I'm not talking about your preferences. I mean holding each other accountable to what the Bible says is good and true and right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with one another. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. That's why we have critique. We don't have critique to say you're wrong and to put people down. We have critique as an opportunity to grow closer as a church and to honor God. Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us. And don't forget to stay up to date with the latest information at lscc.tv. We'll see you next week.